We're going to be looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 10. Chapter 10 tonight, Revelation chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse 1 and read through verse 11. This is the angel and the little book. Here we go. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay, no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and again, and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. The angel and the little book. Now, before the seventh and the final trumpet blast, John hears thunders and encounters an angel with a little book. In verse 1, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Now, there are some who believe that this is a Christophany or a theophany. It means an angel appearing as Christ, or Christ appearing in the likeness of an angel. But I don't believe that's actually true here in this case. And why? Because Jesus is never seen in the New Testament in the form of an angel. Even when he appears in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, it's very descriptive as to who he is. And he is referred to as another mighty angel, another mighty angel. So whoever it is, it's a special messenger who bears the likeness of Christ. Now, why do you think an angel would bear the likeness of Christ? The same way we would bear the likeness of Christ, by being in the presence of the Lord. Amen? We become like the one we behold. Even couples, as they grow old together, often they start to look like one another. Have you noticed that? So ladies, if you have an ugly husband, I feel sorry for you. No, I'm just kidding. Or vice versa. But, you know, when you're one with somebody, you know, when you spend a lot of time with somebody, you know, you start to pick up each other's characteristics and attributes and habits sometimes. And even sometimes we can even finish the sentence. Right? And the same thing is true, like you, as you're spending time getting to know the Lord, more time in his presence, more time in his word, more time in fellowship with him, you know, you start to know him better and better. You know his characteristics, his nature, you know that he is truth. He is life, you know, he is good. And so we need to know who God really is. And again, you can't know God simply by studying the word. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to reveal God to you. And he uses the word of God. He works together with the word of God. And so this special messenger, it says he's clothed with a cloud. Now, the cloud would be a symbol of God's glory. And not the second coming of Christ in clouds, but as an angelic messenger announcing the Lord's claim on the earth and the sea. It says, his face shone like the sun. Now remember, Moses, when he'd been in the presence of the Lord, his face shone like the sun, didn't it? You remember, he had to veil himself because of the glory. It was so bright. And also the angels at the empty tomb. And it says there was also this rainbow over his head. Now, what does the rainbow remind us of? His promise, yeah. His faithfulness, right? That he'd never flood the earth again. And the rainbow is an emblem of peace. This angel came not for wrath, but to bring a message. And his feet were as pillars of fire. And the pillars speak of strength. And the fire speaks of judgment. So God is merciful, but he's also just, and he is mighty. Amen. So this angel comes and makes a special announcement that there are going to be further judgments to come. In verse 2, it says he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Now, this was a big angel, I'm sure. And his right foot on the sea and left foot on the land means the Lord has the right to worldwide dominion. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell in it. Sorry, it doesn't belong to the new world order. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. It doesn't belong to the devil. And this is the biblical way also of claiming territory, as God told Joshua. In Joshua 1 and verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you. So he says, Joshua, I've given you a promise. All you need to do is walk it out by faith. Obey my instructions and you'll receive what I promised you. Same thing is true today. God gives us an instruction. Amen. We just need to obey the instruction he gives us. And God will confirm his word with accompanying signs. In Revelation 10 and verse 3, it says, this angel, what cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Now, throughout the book of Revelation, the sound of thunder is always associated with God's judgment being poured out upon the wicked. Now remember, you and I as believers, followers of Jesus, are not appointed to suffer wrath, right? But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 8:5, we see that before the seven trumpet judgments, there was thunder. In Revelation 11:19, before the first vial of God's wrath. In Revelation 16, verse 17, as well, as the seventh vial of God's wrath is poured out, there are thunderings and lightnings. So in the beginning of Revelation, Jesus instructed John to write down all the things he had seen. But now John is told not to reveal the meaning of these seven thunders. Now think about this. Just because we receive a word does not mean that we need to go out and blab it. You know, sometimes God gives us something that's not appropriate in the moment, right? I know I'm still learning how to do that sometimes, you know. But I feel if I hear something that I got to just say it, right? No, I need to say, Lord, now or when, or sometimes the Lord will show you something, reveal something to you so that you would just maybe agree in prayer for that person, right? Or it may be for a time when God brings that person to a place where they're receptive to receive the word that he gave you. So it's very important. Sometimes God will give me a word to speak here and it won't be for that next Sunday. Sometimes it may be several Sundays later, but it was something that was like on the back burner. But I just, when I would try to bring it up, it's like, no, it's not appropriate for right now. And then on one day, all of a sudden, it's just like, it just fits like a glove. It's like, this is the time, let it go. Amen. And I find that if you just connect with what God is saying, sometimes only a word that he gives you, you know, just go with that word. Sometimes he'll just tell you to open your mouth and speak a word. And as an act of faith, as an act of obedience, you speak that word and then God begins to fill your mouth. He begins to download what he wants you to say and the words begin to follow that. Amen. And sometimes God gives you a word because he wants you to be on a theme, a specific focus. Even when you're praying, sometimes God will give you a word, right? A specific target in prayer. We need to be specific in prayer. Well, Lord, save the whole world. Well, that's great. But, you know, God actually gives us specific instruction in prayer as well. And we know God wants to save the world, right? But God does it one heart at a time. And sometimes, yes, through mass gatherings. But God wants us to be obedient to whatever he's telling us to do. And it's easy to get into generalities, you know. But we want to hear God's voice because when you speak what God is speaking, there's life in it. When you are speaking what God is speaking, it's life-giving. So it's not about just speaking words. It's about hearing God's voice and speaking what he's speaking. And that's life-giving. Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." He wasn't speaking on his own authority, speaking his own thoughts. He was speaking what he heard the Father speak to him. Amen. So, what did he say? He told John not to reveal the meaning of these seven thunders. So what was the purpose of them then? Well, the key to understanding these seven thunders is God's timing, right? There it is again. It will be revealed in God's time. I know a lot of people are trying to sometimes interpret scripture prematurely, or it just hasn't been actually revealed to them. You know, you can get a panel of Bible prophecy scholars together and they can debate and fight over it all day long. And the question is anybody been edified? Did anybody get saved? Did anybody get healed or delivered? Or, you know, was there anything accomplished of any eternal value other than you impressed one another with your knowledge? Amen. It's not about just getting information. It's about living the Christian life, walking out what we hear and what we see, living this life, amen, before the world. So God's determined a time when these messages will be revealed of the seven thunders. Remember Daniel? He was given a prophecy and he was told not to reveal it. In Daniel 12 and verse 4, he says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." Now think about this. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Do you think the Lord may be dropping a hint in there as to when the time of the end will be and what will be a sign of the time of the end? What do we have now? We've got international travel and, you know, and internet, global internet system and instantaneous information. And knowledge is increasing at incredible rates. So we see that, you know, these things, everything seems to be speeding up, isn't it? You notice how time is, it seems like everything is going faster and faster and faster. And Jesus said that's the way it's going to be at the end. He said it's going to be like a woman in travail, you know, getting ready to give birth. Those contractions are coming, you know, quicker and more severe. And man, I mean, things are crazy right now in this world. Man, have you seen the storms that are happening in China right now? I mean, China, they're trying to hide it, but it's just like underwater, man. And they had this tremendous sandstorm that just hit them that was just something out of Revelation, you know. But we just need to stay close to the Lord, you know, and pray for God's mercy, you know. And God is, even though he judges, you know, his heart is not to judge. His heart is to save, to redeem men, to save men's lives. Amen. That's what his heart is. But because God is just, and because he is a just judge, he has to, because of his integrity, judge sin. And that's why Jesus came, amen, to pay the price for our sins, to give us a way out. There is an escape from the wrath of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and only through the blood of Jesus can we be saved. So God is just, and he will punish sin. But the good news is that Jesus became our sacrifice. He became our sin offering. He became sin for us. And God laid upon him once again the iniquity of us all. So that if we will turn to Jesus in repentance, we can receive that forgiveness, that cancellation, because he paid for it in full with his own blood. Hallelujah. And that blood is there in the presence of the Father on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. So we have a great high priest in the heavens. We call on the Lord. We don't have to live in fear and doubt and shame and condemnation. We put our confidence in what Jesus did for us and on our behalf. Amen. And out of gratitude for what he's done, out of gratitude for his forgiveness, we offer our bodies back to him for his service. Amen. To love and serve the Lord for the rest of our lives. Hallelujah. God wants us to partner with him so we can also share in his glory someday. He wants you to have a treasure in heaven. Amen. He wants you to receive an inheritance. So as we serve the Lord, as we partner with him in his mission, you know, he allows us to do this also so that we can also have a treasure. Amen. In heaven that doesn't fade or perish. So the things that Daniel saw here, obviously, he didn't understand. You know, and today, you know, God is revealing things that at the time they were written would make no sense at all to those who are writing in the scriptures. Revelation 10 and verse 5, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it. Now, who would that be? That wouldn't be Jesus swearing. That would be an angel. Amen. Why? Because we know Jesus was part of the creation. Amen. He is the creator God. Hallelujah. He was in the beginning with the Father, was he not? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Colossians tells us that nothing was made that's been made except by him, right? And Hebrews 1 is, as well. It makes a distinction between angels and Jesus. He's not an angel. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. And verse 6, he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Excuse me. Verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. The mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So at this point, in this book of Revelation, we see the seven seals, they've been broken. Six trumpets have sounded and seven thunders have uttered their voices. Now the angel declares that there shall be no more delays in God's end time plans. And so we know that the martyred saints had been crying out, amen, under the altar to the Lord. And in Revelation 6 and 10, they said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. God has an appointed time for everything. God is not turning a deaf ear to the cries of his people, but everything will be according to God's time. Amen. And his plan. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to see, even in the midst of judgments, that God is extending his mercy. God is being patient with people. God is trying to get the attention of people. Amen. So that they will turn away from idols. They'll turn away from their sin. Amen. And turn to the only one that can save them and rescue them from themselves. So this mystery will be fulfilled. The mystery of God will be fulfilled. So question is, and what is the mystery? Well, I feel we have the answer. I believe we have the answer in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 9, it says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. Verse 10, here it is, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gain together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. God is bringing heaven and earth together. Amen. New Living Translation says it this way, verse 10. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Amen. So the Lord is going to gather and set everything in order. And there will be peace on earth. Amen. And goodwill towards men when the Lord establishes his reign. Hallelujah. Yes, and he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to put down all rule and authority. And every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus is Christ. He's the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So this seventh trumpet will announce God's final triumph over evil. At the appointed time, God the Father is going to establish again this kingdom. Amen. Christ's kingdom upon the earth. And he's going to give them dominion over the nations. In Revelation 11, verse 15, it tells us, then the seventh angel sounded. And there are parallels, by the way, in Revelation. There are repeats of these things. And here it is again. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, God's people, the redeemed, are going to reign with him. You know, if we are ready when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord calls us, when he comes for his bride, if we're ready, we will also be with him to reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, or if we suffer with him, that means that we overcome, even in the face of opposition and temptation to deny the Lord, we shall also reign with him. If we do not deny him, right? If we deny him, he will also deny us. Who is he speaking to here in 2 Timothy? Well, Paul's speaking to, right, Pastor Timothy, and which was to be passed on, what, to the saints, to the church. Now, Daniel also prophesied of this event. In Daniel 7, verse 13, he says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Now, who are we talking about? Yes. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. And we know through, from other scriptures, that he will reign for 1,000 years, amen, on the earth, but his reign is not going to finish after 1,000 years. Amen. He's going to reign forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, he already is King of Kings, really, and Lord of Lords. Amen. He is exalted. He said, I have been given, in Matthew 24, what? All authority in heaven and on earth. So he is, amen, in charge. He's on the throne. But everything is according to God's plan, God's timetable. Now, listen, we can't figure all of this stuff out because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? And so we need to, by faith, just trust the Lord that he knows what he's doing. And there are some very clear promises that God has given us, such as, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, right? Trusting in his promises brings peace to our hearts. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is pleased when we're obedient children who simply believe their father. We believe him. Amen. We don't tell our children everything we're doing. At least you shouldn't. Right? So the father shares certain things with us. But there are mysteries too. There are certain things that we are not privy to. And maybe later we'll know all, even as we are known. But at this time, God shares with us what I believe he knows we can be responsible with. Amen? So, verse 8, Revelation 10, verse 8 says, the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again, said, go take, now we're looking at the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, and it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. I don't know if that's something I'd be interested in. But, you know, sometimes that's the way the Word of God is to us, isn't it? You know, it's good medicine. We need it. We need to hear the truth. Even sometimes it may be a bitter pill to swallow, right? But actually, the eat the little book is a type of Hebrew expression for the reception of knowledge. So they eat, say you receive or eat the book means a reception of knowledge. Okay. So what was the effect on John? Well, it's proof that it certainly contains some catastrophic events that are going to take place on the earth. When he realized what's actually up ahead what's going to happen. I hear a lot of people that, you know, and myself included, sometimes I look at the Revelation, I say, oh my word, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be bad. And even people that don't know the Lord, sometimes they'll the first time they open a Bible, they'll open up a Revelation and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to read any more of that. You know, I read the end of the book. Well, no, you haven't read the full end of the book, but you know. But you know, it's not going to be a good place to be for a while, you know. But again, our hope, our confidence is in our faithful Lord. Amen. Who is with us and who is for us, and he will help us through. And yes, we're going to have tribulation in the world. Not necessarily the great tribulation, but we're going to have tribulation in the world. Jesus said we would, right? But he promised to be with us. He said, when you walk through the waters, what? I will be with you. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. So know that whatever we're faced with, sometimes the enemy wants to make it look so bad and make the future look so hopeless so as to discourage our hearts. Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. Because God's grace is sufficient for us. God's grace will sustain us and take us through any situation. There is nothing that God will allow in our lives that we're not able to overcome by his grace. By relying upon his ability that he supplies to us freely through his Spirit and his Word. Amen. So, the revelation was sweet to receive, but the content was bitter. For the believer, it's sweet to read of the triumph of God over Satan and all his hosts. It's also sweet to read of the time when all the wrongs of earth will be all made right. I'm looking forward to that too. Because we see the injustice and we say, Lord, how long? How long is this going to be allowed? How long are you going to allow them to get away with this stuff? Well, it's not going to be forever. Amen. The Lord will be glorified in all the earth. Everyone will know him. Everyone will see him. Hallelujah. But then there's also, you know, the bitterness as we view these judgments which are coming. And bitterness when we think also of the eternal doom waiting all who reject the Lord Jesus. And I know we have loved ones and people that we love that we want to see saved. And we want to see them get right with God. We want to know that they're going to be saved in that day, you know. And that's God's heart too. And so we pray for them. And listen, guys, if this is any consolation, the Holy Spirit never impresses you to pray about something that he's not willing to move upon. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So be confident that when you're praying for the salvation of a loved one, because God is impressing upon your heart to pray for that loved one, come on. We know he hears us. Amen. So hang in there. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9. Don't become weary in well-doing, right? Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. And in due season, you shall reap if you don't give up. And you know, even sometimes when we give up, God doesn't give up. In verse 11, it says, and he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And you know, this book, hallelujah, this revelation has gone around the world, hasn't it? As well. Maybe even in his day, John prophesied. But yet, these are the things that were written down. It's interesting where he received this was on the Isle of Patmos. So how is he going to be prophesying, okay, have you thought about that, right? To many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings, because God had preserved his word, amen, so they can get to the nations, hallelujah. And upon ingesting this little book of knowledge, John was then commissioned. Now, think about this. This is the same commission that God has called his church to. God wants us to be about his business. God wants us to receive both the bitter and the sweet truths of his word. The problem, I think, with some Christians is that we like the dessert aisle. I'm not speaking literally here, right? Okay. Maybe literally, too. But, you know, Hesuk pointed this out to me a while back. And, you know, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. You know? And, you know, we like the sweet, but there's a proverb that says too much honey can make you sick. Amen. So honey is good, but too much is not good. So we need a balance, right? We need a balance of the bitter and the sweet. Even as in the communion, there was the bitter herbs, right? As long as it was the sweet. And the cross was a bitter thing, but it produced sweetness. Amen. And so sometimes the bitterness and the things of our lives, the bitter things that we experience, produce the sweetness, the fragrance of Christ. But we need to be willing to receive all that God has for us, you know, and receive the full counsel, receive God's counsel, trust Him, because, you know, if we just eat the dessert, we're going to be unhealthy. We're going to be sickly. And I think the church in America, not as a whole, but much of the church, and I believe it's changing. And God is cleaning house. God has been waking people up. Amen. But it's been this whole, you know, Disneyland ride or whatever it's been. You know, and we've lost sight of our mission, of our purpose. You know, drifted. We've become, in a lot of ways, lukewarm, indifferent to the things of God. What do I have need of? Just like Laodicea, you know. But God is waking, shaking things right now. Because He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a people that's pure. A people that are ready. And I say, Lord, make us ready. Make me ready for You. I don't want to miss what You're doing either in our time. God is pouring out His Spirit right now. God is moving in our land. And God is looking for someone to partner with Him in this move. Amen. But if we're not careful, we can miss it. If we allow the devil to distract us with lesser things. But we need to pray and seek the Lord and listen to His voice and be willing to step out. And I found that whenever I step out to do what maybe my flesh is uncomfortable with, that God meets me there with His power. Amen. And it becomes a joy. And the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So we must be willing to share with others also the bitter and the sweet truths of God's word. And this is where, you know, we can get in trouble as ministers, especially because we're, you know, we know, well, Joe over there is not going to be happy with this message. So let me tailor it to Joe, you know, to make Joe feel good. Well, if Joe is sick and you don't warn him about, you know, his diet, say, Joe, you're eating the wrong thing. You're drinking polluted water from this world. It's going to make you sick. It's going to eventually kill you. If you don't stop drinking that and start drinking the right thing, amen, you need to get into prayer and get into the Word of God, get back with God's people, amen, and God's mission. If you've fallen out of the race, it's not too late. Get back in the race. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. All right? What matters is that you finish well. Hallelujah. Because we love, we tell the truth. We speak the truth to those that we love. Amen. And they don't always like it, but as long as the Lord likes it, as long as the Lord is pleased, that's really what matters. I'm faced with that sometimes, and you know, I once in a while I get a report and somebody didn't like what I said. But you know, what I really need to say is, Lord, did I say what You wanted me to say? That's what matters. At the end of the day, at the end of my journey here, I know I'm going to stand before the Lord. And I will give an account. And I want to hear Him say, well done. You know, it seems like the older I get and the more that I'm growing in the Lord, the more fear of the Lord I have in a healthy sense. You know what I'm saying? We know that day is getting closer, isn't it? It's just like we're like, hey, you know, toe the line because the Lord is at the door. And whether we die of natural means or the Lord comes and calls us, we want to be ready when that trumpet sounds. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. So Father, we just thank You for Your word. Lord, burn it into our hearts. Give us understanding. Lord, translate it and turn it into, Lord, action, Lord, within our lives, that we will not only hear, but we will be doers of Your word, Lord, that You will inspire us and strengthen us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You will empower us, Lord, that You'll enable us, Lord, that You'll give us a holy passion, Lord, to run this race with perseverance. Lord, we know without you we can do nothing. So we ask you, Lord, to baptize our hearts with your holy fire, to stir up the gift within us, Lord God. Bring us to full flame, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Make us bold, make us strong for you, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord God. Establish your rule and your reign in me and in my family and in our community. Establish your rule and your reign in Shelton, Washington, God. We pray, arise, Lord, arise in this city, arise in the Northwest, arise in the United States, O God, and drive out your enemies, Lord, and let them flee from before you like smoke, drive them away. And may your name, Lord, be exalted in this place and in this city and in our nation. And most importantly, in our hearts, may your name be exalted, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.